The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eye and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them all to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what good are these for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with the fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. All right, I'm going to start off. I got to make friends around here. I'm going to start off by handing out kudos, okay? First kudo, the loudest part of the church is right in front of me. So you guys are doing a good job with the responses, so keep it up. Just only be loud in the moments you're supposed to be loud, though, okay? So don't start getting loud for no reason. Second, I was frankly duly impressed with our two readers, okay? I was kind of cracking up with the first reader because I don't know your name, but he was doing such a good job. I was actually sitting back thinking, man, this kid is really good. And then he forgets to say the word of the Lord, and I felt, it was 9.9 out of 10. He almost got it. That's okay. The same thing happens to the best of us. So anyway, that means I was very impressed with the way you guys did your readings, and that also means that your teachers did a good job. So there you go. Okay, have I accomplished my mission? Am I friends with everybody now? Okay. So back to the gospel. Whenever we read these kind of gospel passages, I think it's helpful sometimes. Imagine putting yourself in the scene, okay? Imagine you are one of Jesus' followers. And okay, you kind of got used to the fact that Jesus does spectacular things, like, you know, Jesus walks on water, Jesus cures blind people. So Jesus spends an entire day out there preaching, and there are thousands of people. So I don't know how many people are in this church right now, but a few hundred. I'm gonna guess, 400, I guess, okay? So multiply this church by about 12 or 13, at least, and that's how many people are following Jesus, okay? So Jesus is preaching and doing his miracles and all the stuff that he normally does, and then all of a sudden he turns to his disciples and essentially says, "The people have not eaten. What are you gonna do about it?" Okay, now put yourself in that position. Jesus looks at you, he says, "I've got 5,000 people here that haven't eaten. What are you gonna do about it?" And they're like, nothing. We got no money, there are no stores nearby, it's late, there's nothing we can do. There's a kid here with a lunchbox, essentially, okay? And that's it. What do you think we're gonna do? And the reality is, though, Jesus wants to teach them something, because Jesus is telling them, and he says the same thing to us, "I want to work miracles, but I don't want to just do it by myself. I want to work miracles through you." And he pulls out the big miracle. It reminds me of a movie that none of you have ever heard of. Maybe the old people in here, because it was in the 80s when I was a little kid. Back when I thought it had cool special effects. Now I'm sure if I watched it, it would look stupid. There was a movie in the 80s called Dragon Slayer. it wasn't a particularly good movie and it didn't make a lot of money, but it was out there. And the gist of it was this. The movie begins, you've got this old wizard and he has his young apprentice, okay? And I don't know why, but the local evil king decides that the old wizard is competition and has him killed. So the old, you know, the movie starts with the tragedy. Here's this old wizard who's presumably a good guy, dies. And the young apprentice is now like, well, now what do I do? I was trying to learn magic. I mean, I can do a little bit, but I'm trying to learn magic and my teacher's dead, so now what do I do? Okay, that's how things start. Then, lo and behold, in the neighborhood, this giant fire-breathing dragon appears and starts, you know, doing what dragons do, which is demanding that you send him victims to eat or else he will come and burn your town down. And nobody can do anything about it. Obviously, the knights with their bows and arrows and swords cannot do anything against this giant flying fire-breathing dragon. So the only person who can try to do anything about it is this young apprentice, but he's just learning. He can hardly do anything. But it's kind of interesting because as the movie progresses, you see he starts figuring out more and more how to do magic. And he actually starts getting pretty good at magic. And when the grand finale, it's like, okay, well, I've got this dragon nice and angry, so he's going around burning and pillaging and, you know, killing people and doing what dragons do. The grand finale, the young kid is like, well, I'm in over my head. There's nothing I can do against this thing. The old wizard that he thought was dead kind of reappears. It's like he reincarnated. And you find out that he'd never really, I mean, he died, but it's kind of like the Force, like Obi-Wan Kenobi used to just appear even after he was dead and help out Luke. Same kind of thing. This old wizard appeared, and the reason why the young kid knew how to do magic was because really, it was the old guy that was kind of inside him, teaching him from the inside, just like Obi-Wan Kenobi used to do, okay? But so he figured out that really, I was never doing magic all along. It was this other guy, the wizard. The real wizard was the one doing it. Well, the same thing happens with us. Jesus wants to work magic, so to speak, through us. Jesus wants to work miracles. And I'm not just saying that. Yes, Jesus wants to be able to love the world through us. He wants us to be his hands and his feet. To bring love to a society that needs love, to bring service to a society that brings service. But frankly speaking, even to work miracles today. I know priests and lay people that are engaged, for example, in healing ministry. I mean, I have yet to my knowledge to, you know, I've tried praying over people and frankly nothing's ever happened to my knowledge, but I know people that do. I have a priest friend of mine that cured somebody of stage 4 cancer over the phone. Wasn't even physically present. Complete, you know, the lady had like 2 weeks to live and now she's running around doing, you know, half marathons or whatever. Over the phone! Okay, now, what is happening? Does that priest, so to speak, have power? No, but Jesus does. But Jesus wants to work through us. He wants to work through us. And the more that you and I become friends of Jesus, the holier we are, the more he's going to be able to do stuff in us and through us. And a lot of times, we're not even going to know it. Sometimes, it's just going to be as simple as you say the right thing. It happens to me all the time because as a priest, I hear confessions, for example. Somebody comes, confesses their sins. I don't even remember it. I have no idea what I said. And then later on, they'll come back to me. Father, thank you so much. You said exactly the right thing. And I'm like, sweetheart, I don't even know who you are. And apparently, the Holy Spirit used me to say something spectacular that I don't even know I said. That wasn't me. That was God. But if we are men and women who will become friends of Jesus, then he's going to do those things in us and through us all the time. And this is what Jesus wants to teach us in the gospel today. Jesus could have just snapped his fingers and said, okay, you know what, Father, I've got 5,000 hungry people here, so send down, you know, a couple hundred angels and start serving up dinner. He could have done that, would have worked. He didn't do that, though. He said, I want you, ordinary men, to be my instruments. and I want to work miracles through you. And he wants to do the same thing through us today. In the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.